Okay, so good evening. Welcome back to the Shir. We're learning Shmuel Aleph, Perek Dalet. Last week we just began Perek Dalet. We learned the first several psukim. At the very beginning of Perek Dalet, we know that the Jewish people, the Bnei Yisrael, camped across from the Plishtim, and they're going to war against the Plishtim. So the pasuk says in pasuk Beis that Bnei Yisrael got slaughtered essentially, and they lost about 4,000 people in this first battle. The Sukkim described that the battlefield spread throughout the area. And then Pasuk Gimel, we were introduced to this novel concept that Bnei Yisrael had, and the nation said, the Ziknei Yisrael, actually, the Pasuk says, said that why were we, they were kind of dumbfounded. Why were we slaughtered? Why were we defeated by the Plishtim? They had this idea, Nikcha Eleinu Mishilo Es Aron Baris Hashem. Why don't we bring the Aron to battle with us? Let's bring it with us to battle, and the Aron will help us defeat our enemies, defeat the Plishtim. So Pasuk Dalet said, and this was, I think, the last Pasuk that we learned last week, Vayishlach Ha'am Shilo, so the nation sent messengers to Shiloh, Hayisu Mishamas Aron Baris Hashem Tzvakos, Yoshin Akruvim, and they brought the Aron of Hashem, Visham Shnei Bnei Eli, Im Aron Baris HaElokim, Chofni UPinchas. And with the Aron were the two sons of Eli, Chofni and Pinchas. They were the Kohanim that were with the Aron, and we're going to learn they actually accompanied the Aron into battle here with the Plishtim. And Bnei Yisrael brings the Aron to battle with the Plishtim. Okay, so that's what we're up to. Now, we discussed last week the Malbim, who explained a little bit about why the Aron was captured. We'll just review that when we actually read the Psukim that refer to the capture of the Aron. Okay, Pasuk Hei. Vayihi kivo Aron bris Hashem el ha-machane. And it was when the Aron of Hashem entered the machane, entered the camp of Bnei Yisrael. Vayariu chol Yisrael terua gidola vatehom ha-aretz. So Bnei Yisrael, they blew the shofar, a trua gedola. Right? We blow a tkiya gedola, but Sfardim blow a trua gedola. Right? That's what the Sfardim blow. So here too, it sounds like they blew a trua gedola. Now, whether the trua here refers to the trua that we know, or just a shofar sound, whatever it was, but they blew the shofar. The Mitzudas David says vatehom haaretz. It sounds like the entire land was in wonder. The entire land was in shock when they heard this trua gedola. The sound could be heard from afar. The Malbim says that if you remember, we had another battle not too long ago where we discussed the blowing of the shofar. And what was that? That was the battle, of course, with Yericho. But there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, don't blow the shofar until after the victory. Once the walls, if you remember the story of Yericho, once the walls, once they were victorious, so then blow the shofar. But until then, you should just daven. But says the Malbim here, they had this impression that they would be victorious, just like Yericho. Just like they were victorious at Yericho, so too they'll be victorious here. And therefore, they blew too early. There, when it came to Yericho, they davened and davened and davened, and only after they were victorious, then they blew the shofar. But here, they blew too early. And that was also part of their downfall. Again, they seemed to be overly confident. Right, like we learned in the last couple of psukim ago, the Zakenim are dumbfounded. Why is it that we're not being victorious? They were overly confident in their abilities and in the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would help them. Okay, Pasuk Vav. Vayishmu'u plishtim es kol ha-trua. So the plishtim hear the sound of this trua. Vayomru ma kol ha-trua gedola hazoz b'machane ha-ivrim. And the plishtim asked, they wondered, why are they blowing the shofar so much over there in the Jewish camp? Vayedu, and then they realized, the Plishtim realized, it must be, why are they blowing the shofar? Vayedu ki Aron Hashem ba el hamachane. They recognized that the Aron of Hashem has arrived in the Machane Yisrael. They recognized that. The Malbim says they did some investigations. Maybe they sent out some spies. They looked through their binoculars. They checked it out, and they recognized that it was due to the arrival of the Aron. But again, they heard everybody could hear the shofar. It was a tremendous shofar blast. Now, it's interesting to see what was their reaction. or what was the reaction of the Plishtim to the fact that the Aron came, you know, into the camp? So, you know, on the one hand, you would say, what do they care about the Aron? You know, the Aron is our holy vessel. It's our holy, you know, holy kli. It houses the Luchos, the Sefer Torah. You know, what do the Plishtim care about it? Pasuk Zayin, Vayiru haPlishtim. The Plishtim were frightened. Once they realized that the Truah was due to the arrival of the Aron Baris Hashem among in the Jewish camp, they were scared. They were frightened. Ki amru ba Elokim el hamachane. They said, God has come to their camp. We're finished. Vayomru oilanu. Kilo haisa kazos esmol shilshom. You know, yesterday we were victorious. The day before, things were good for us. Not going to be like that anymore. Once they have the Aron, once they have the God in their camp, you know, we're not going to be able to be successful. The Mitzudas David points out that Bnei Yisrael had never brought the Aron to battle before. This was a first. This was the first time that they brought the Aron to battle. And now they're scared. The Plishtim says, explains the Malbim, they're scared because now we're not just fighting Bnei Yisrael. We're fighting Bnei Yisrael and their God. And so the Plishtim are scared. I'm not so sure that we're ready to fight their God. You know, the people we can fight. We just defeated them in the first battle. But I'm not sure about this God. Pasuk Ches. Oilanu. Miyat Sileinu Miyat Ho Elokim Ha'adirim Ho'ela. And who's going to save us from this all-powerful God? Eileheim ha'elokim hamakim es mitzrayim v'chomaka b'amidbar. This is the same God that, you know, punished Mitzrayim, that dealt all of those blows, all those makos to Mitzrayim, and then the pasuk concludes in a funny way, v'chomaka b'amidbar, with all of the makos in the midbar. So, again, before we get to that, just, you know, again, the reaction of the Plishtim is oy vavoy. They use that language, right? Oy lanu. And again, in Pasuk, that's Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk Ches again, oy lanu. Right? We're scared. We're petrified. What's going to be? No, we can't defeat this God. This is a mighty God. Look what he did to the Mitzrim. We don't want to be, meet the same fate as the Mitzrim. The Mefarshim all explain that, that this language of Esmit, that, Eilahem ha'elokim hamakim es Mitzrayim b'chomaka b'amidbar. That this is the God that defeated Mitzrayim and b'chomaka b'amidbar with all the makos in the midbar. So Rashi says the pshat is, pasha pshat, is that this refers to Kriyas Yamsuf. Because if you remember, Kriyas Yamsuf, right, happened essentially in the midbar. They came out of Mitzrayim, they traveled through part of the desert, they got to Yamsuf, and then there was another miracle in Yamsuf. So that is the Makkah, B'chol Makkah, B'amidbar refers to Kriyas Yamsuf. That's what Rashi says, and other Mefarshim say the Pashup Shadis. What's the Drash? What's the Medrash here? So Rashi and other Mefarshim also quote the Medrash that, that there were actually two groups among the Plishtim. There were two factions. There were some Plishtim that were afraid. They heard the Kol Truah. They recognized it was the Aron, and they were scared of what this God would do to them. But there was another group of Plishtim that were not afraid. And these were the wicked, the really wicked Plishtim. The other ones weren't so bad. But these were the really wicked Plishtim. Why? Because they said, that God, he is powerful. But he has a limited arsenal. He has limited artillery. He used everything up already on the Mitzrim and in the Midbar. He's done. He's got nothing left. Right, God has no bullets left in his gun. That's it. He's not empty, and that's what they mean, right? That Eloheim ha'elokim. The first part of the pasuk is the group that is more righteous. Who's going to save us from this powerful God? That's the first group, the more righteous group of Plishtim. But then the second group chimes in and says, "Nah, don't worry. Eloheim ha'elokim b'makam es Mitzrayim b'chomaka b'amidbar. No, this was the God who defeated the Mitzrim, and if you remember, he used up all his tricks already. He's got nothing left for us. Don't worry about it. We'll be fine." So the two groups of Plishtim, almost, you know, arguing with each other, should we be scared? Should we not be scared? Should we be intimidated by this God or no? Or are we going to be okay? The Malbim says that he's not working with the Medrash. He's working with the Pashup Shat that they were afraid. So he says they're not only afraid that they're not going to win, they're afraid they're going to get destroyed. And he says, you know, this whole pasuk, Hashem is known to be a powerful God. Miyad ha'elokim ha'adirim. That's number one. Number two, he's known to be able to fight with any type of makah, right? Hamakim es Mitzrayim b'chol makah. You know, all sorts of, right? Keep it, just remember Mitzrayim. There were all sorts of things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought upon Mitzrayim. And then finally, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was also known to be able to fight anywhere, because he fought not only in Mitzrayim, but also in the Midbar. So you can't tell me that he's limited by some location. He's all powerful. He's not limited by the things that he can do, and he's not limited by the location that he can fight. But that's why they were scared. Pasuk Tes. He's chazku v'hayu v'hiyula anashim. So now, the Mitzudas Tov, it says they're encouraging each other. Right? You know, Zayin and Ches, they're scared. Oylanu, oylanu. And now Tes, they're kind of, you know, giving each other a pep talk. They're encouraging each other. We can do this. He's chazku. Right? Let's strengthen ourselves. V'hiyula anashim, plishtim. Let's be like men. Let's be like plishti men. Pentavdu la'ivrim kasher ovdu lachem. Do you want to serve the Ivrim the way that they served us? Do you want to be their slaves the way that they were our slaves? V'yisem la'anashim. Come on, stand up, right? Like, be a man, like the saying goes. V'nilchamtem, and let's fight. Let's fight. Now, so that's how the Mitzudas Tov understands. The Alshech points something out very interesting, and he says that it's kind of, you know, the flow from Psukim Zayin and Ches into Tes is very strange. Because Zayin and Ches is Oylanu Oylanu. Vayiru, they're scared, the Plishtim are scared, Oy Vavoy, what's going to be, we're never going to be able to do it. You know, and then all of a sudden, Tes is like a 180, you know, everybody turns around, is Chazku V'yu V'hayu V'hi'ula Noshim, and we can do it. But what happened? Zayin and Ches, they're petrified, they're scared, right? Oylanu Oylanu, and now Tes all of a sudden, he's Chazku, we can do this, let's just strengthen ourselves. So the Alshich says something absolutely fascinating. The Alshich says that here, in the previous pasuk, when the Plishtim said Elu Heim HaElokim Hamakim Es Mitzrayim, that this was the God that defeated Mitzrayim, we weren't the Plishtim were not referring to the nation Mitzrayim; they were referring to the angel Mitzrayim. And he quotes, and I've seen this before in other places also. He quotes the fact that every nation has an angel that looks out for it. Every nation has an angel. So Mitzrayim has an angel also. What's the name of Mitzrayim's angel? Mitzrayim, right? That's also the name of the angel of Mitzrayim. So here the Pasuk in Pasuk Ches, when it says that Hashem defeated Mitzrayim, it's not referring to the nation, but it's referring to the angel of Mitzrayim. And he says like this. This was the intention of the Plishtim. If we enlist our gods or our angels to fight their God, we don't stand a chance, because our gods and our angels don't compare to their God. However, if we don't enlist our angels or our gods, so then essentially what are we saying? We're admitting, God, you're the man. You're the strongest. The God of the Jews, the God of Bnei Yisrael, You are the strongest, you're the all-powerful, you're the mighty. Once we do that, they thought Hashem will back off. God will back down. If we show that we recognize God's might, if we show that we recognize the God of the Jews, he'll back down. He's not going to fight for them because he recognizes, look, the Bnei Yisrael believe in me and they also believe in me. So now, say the Plishtim, it's just us against them. Amazing cheshbon, right? So essentially, Elohim, this was the God that defeated Mitzrayim, meaning the angel. This is the God that defeats all other gods and angels. And therefore, they said, let's fight them man to man. Let's not enlist our angels. Let's not enlist our gods. If we do, we have no chance. Let's just admit their God is the God. Their God is the all-powerful. Their God is the almighty. Once we do that, he's not going to help them more than he's going to help us. And therefore, it'll just be man to man. It'll be Plishtim versus Bnei Yisrael. That we can do. Says the Alshich, that's the transition from Zayin and Ches to Pasuk Tes. It's Chazku v'hiyula anashim. Forget the gods. We got to fight them man to man. Because once God backs off, so to speak, so then he leaves it up to nature. Okay, when it comes to nature, we can do this. We can fight Bnei Yisrael, right? Man to man, we can fight them. Amazing, amazing interpretation. You know, but it's just fascinating that here the Plishtim, you know, it seems according to even all the interpretations, all the Mefarshim here, the Plishtim recognized, they're admitting that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the all-powerful. They're admitting, they're recognizing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in Mitzrayim, and they're recognizing that he's the all-powerful. Amazing. Okay, Pasuk Yud. Vayilochamu Plishtim. So the battle ensues. The Plishtim fight against Bnei Yisrael. Vayinagaf Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael are destroyed, are decimated. Vayanusu ish la'ohalav, and everyone runs, they flee for their lives back to their tents. Vatehi hamaka gedola me'od. This was a big hit, right? The Jews suffered heavy losses in this battle. Vayipol miYisrael shloshim elef ragli, 30,000 soldiers they lost. In the first battle, they lost only 4,000. This battle, they lost 30,000. Okay, the Malbim points out here that vayanusu ish lo alav, it's not like last time. Last time, if you remember, we said that they essentially regrouped. Right? After they lost that first battle, they lost 4,000 men. They regrouped, they retreated, and they regrouped back in their camp and then tried to figure things out. But here, that was Pasuk Gimel, Vayovo Ha'am El Hamachane, right? So the people come back to the camp. So that means that they regrouped. They retreated, they went back to their camp, and they regrouped, and they got ready for a second battle. Here, says the Malbim, there was no regrouping. Vayanusi Ishla Ohalof. They fled for their lives. They just went home, right? That's it. There was no regrouping in this case. And that's also why they were hit so hard, right? Because everybody just fled. It wasn't an organized retreat. It was just every man, you know, fleeing for himself and fleeing for his own life. The Alshich points out here that the language of Vayenagaf Yisrael, it's almost like it's a passive language, that the Jews were, Bnei Yisrael was hit. Right? Bnei Yisrael suffered losses, passive. So why is it passive, says the Alshich? Because, again, like we said in the last pasuk, the Plishtim admitted to God's might, and therefore they, so to speak, canceled God out of the equation. Because we admit that God is the mightiest, and you admit that God is the mightiest. So God's out of the equation. Now it's just man to man. It's us and you. So the Plishtim defeated them, but why? Says the Alshach, because of the sins of Bnei Yisrael. Vayinagaf. It happened on its own. Because once it was just man to man, so then the sins that Bnei Yisrael had been involved in just over, you know, they took over. And then Vayinagaf. Bnei Yisrael was decimated. They were hit. They were punished. Pasuk Yud Aleph, and here's the tragic, here's the most tragic part of the perek. Va'aron Elokim Nilkach. Not only did the Plishtim kill 30,000 Jews, but they captured the Aron. Ushnei v'nei Eli Mesu, Chofni and Pinchas. Chofni and Pinchas. And the two sons of Eli died, Chofni and Pinchas, right? Says the Malbim, they died because they were carrying the Aron. If you remember, right, we read the Pasuk earlier, that when they took the Aron, Chofni and Pinchas were with the Aron. They were the Kohanim that were with the Aron. So since they were with the Aron, the Plishtim killed them and took the Aron. This obviously, says the Malbim, is a fulfillment of the Nevuah back in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Shmuel, I'm going to bring something, if you remember, right? It says, I'm going to bring something upon the world, upon Bnei Yisrael, that's going to shake the world. And this was it. The capture of the Aron is this tragic event that shook the world. If you can imagine, you know, the holiest thing. I mean, just imagine for a moment. You know, it's a hard thing to imagine. But just imagine for a moment, you know, a Sefer Torah being stolen. Just imagine, Rachmana Litzlan, somebody comes into a shul and steals a Sefer Torah. It would be traumatic. It would be traumatic. Right? Just a month or two ago, a month or so ago, we were nervous about some of the things that were going on in the neighborhood. We took all the Sefer Torah out of the shul just as a precaution. Right? Baruch Hashem, nothing happened. We brought them back. Everybody was safe and sound. Right? But we were scared of the Sefer Torah. Imagine someone comes in and steals the Sefer Torah. What a tragedy. Here, not just the Sefer Torah, but the Aron. The Aron that was in the Mishkan. The Plishtim stole it. That's an unimaginable tragedy for Klal Yisrael. So that was Shmuel's first Nevuah, that this was going to happen. Okay. Now, just to review, we said it at the end of last week's shiur, but just to review, you know, this is a terrible tragedy. It's a terrible punishment. Why did this happen? And why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it that the Aron was taken? It seems like a very, you know, very dramatic and you know, very, very, very strict punishment for Bnei Yisrael. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do this? So the Malbim provides several reasons. This is the Malbim earlier in Pesukim, Gimel, and Dalet, but he provides several reasons why he believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished Bnei Yisrael by taking the Aron. Number one, he says that they were involved in Avodah Zarah. If you remember at the end of Sefer Shoftim, the story of Pesel Micha, which started, of course, as we know, with Shevet Dan, and then, you know, spread like a virus, right, throughout all the other Shvatim of Bnei Yisrael. So that's number one, they were involved in Avodah Zarah. But what made it worse was that they thought they were sin-free. And if you remember right here in Pasuk Gimel, the Zekanim said, "Vayomer Ziknei Yisrael, Lama Negafanu Hashem Hayom? Why did Hashem punish us?" They were incredulous. They couldn't believe it. Why did Hashem punish us? What do you mean? Because you were involved in sin. You were involved in Avodah Zarah. So that's number one. Number two, says the Malbim, just the fact that they took the Aron to battle was itself a problem. Because when you sin, and you have an issue, and you want to fix that problem, how do you fix it? How do you fix it? Says the Malbim, do tshuva. Do tshuva. Repent. But don't just jump to some segula. You think just because you grab the Aron and you bring it with you into battle, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to save you? It's not magic, says the Malbim. The Aron only protects if you keep that which is inside of the Aron. If you keep the Torah, you dedicate it to the Torah, the Aron will protect you. But it's not some sort of a magical thing. The Aron is, it's not Chas V'Shalom, a lucky charm. The Aron is with you and now it's going to save you in battle. Repent, do tshuva. That's what you need to do. So that was problem number two. Problem number three, and this is the Malbim Pasuk Dalet, he says that they just made a decision to take the Aron without consulting anyone. They did not consult Shmuel, who was the up-and-coming Navi at the time. They did not consult the Urim V'Tumim. The Pasuk says, Vayishlach Ha'am in Perek Dalet. This was just a decision of the masses. This is what the people decided to do without asking. And says the Malbim, the place, as the Pasuk says, is Tachas Akruvim. That's where the Aron is supposed to be, in the Mishka. It's not supposed to be schlepped into battle unless you have permission to do so from the Navi, from the Urim V'Tumim. They didn't do that. And then finally, the fourth sin, says the Malbim, was the sin of Chafni and Pinchas. And since Chafni and Pinchas were the ones who protected the Aron, since because of their sinful ways, the Aron was taken, the Aron was captured. The Midas Hadin essentially was hovering above that Aron, upon that Aron. And that's why these things happen. So those are some of the reasons, says the Malbim, why the Aron was captured again in this incredibly tragic point in Jewish history. Okay, Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayorot ish binyamin mehama arocha vayovo shilo vayomahu. So there was a man from Binyamin who fled from the battlefield and he ran to Shiloh. Same day. He got there on the same day. Umadov keruim va'adama al rosho. His clothing, it was torn. There was dirt on his head. Now, simply put, you can understand this to mean that he was in battle. You know, so he was in the mud and he was in the dirt, so he was dirty and torn from battle. But the Mefarshim say, no, his clothing was torn out of mourning. Because once the soldiers recognized that the Aron had been taken, they did Kriya. They did Kriya. Out of mourning that the Aron had been captured. So he ran, this person from Binyamin ran. The Malbim says everyone else here scattered, right? Like we read two psukim ago, by Anusu Ishla Olav, everybody scattered here. This was the only person who ran directly to Shiloh. He didn't run and scatter and go home, you know, flee for his life. He went to Shiloh because he knew that, you know, Eli was still there and Shmuel was still there and the people needed to know what just happened. This was an incredible tragedy. People needed to know about it. So he ran straight to Shiloh to share that which he had witnessed, the capture of the Aron. Now, what's fascinating is that the Mefarshim here, Rashi here, quotes the Medrash, that who was this Ish Binyamin? Pasuk only identifies him as an Ish Binyamin. But Rashi says, the Medrash tells us that this was Sha'ul. Sha'ul, we call him Sha'ul HaMelech, but he wasn't yet the Melech. Right, so this was Shaul. He was just, at that time, he was just a soldier. And he was the one, he was from Binyamin, he was the one who ran back to Shiloh. Now, Rashi says, and we'll see this in a moment, Rashi says, and this is again quoting that same Medrash, that Shaul actually grabbed the Luchos. Okay, and here we're introduced not only to Shaul, but we're also introduced to the mighty warrior of the Plishtim. And who is that? Goliath. So we don't have any reference to Goliath yet in the Psukim, but here in Rashi, Rashi says that Goliath was the mighty warrior of the Plishtim. Shaul, who was destined to be Shaul HaMelech, Shaul ran and stole the Luchos, recaptured the Luchos away from Goliath, and he took the Luchos and fled, back to Shiloh. That's the Medrash that Rashi quotes. The Radak quotes this Medrash, and he doesn't like it. He takes issue with this. He has no problem with the fact that this was Shaul from Shevet Binyamin who went back. That he's okay with. But he doesn't understand the part about grabbing the Luchos. And he says that if you look throughout this entire story, we're going to find that nation after nation and city after city are punished just because they have the Aron in their midst. Right now, the Plishtim steal the Aron. We're going to learn that the people are punished because they have the Aron with them. You can't just have the Aron with you, unprotected. And later we're going to learn, even when it was in Beit Shemesh, even Bnei Yisrael in Beit Shemesh were punished because the Aron was there. So says the Radak, if all these people are punished because the Aron was in their midst, is it possible to imagine that someone could actually hold the Luchos and not be punished? No, it's too holy, it's too sacred, you can't do it. So just like the Aron, you know, that was in people's midst caused them to be punished because of that, so too is you can't hold the Luchos. So what is this supposed to mean? That Shaul went and grabbed the Luchos from Goliath and ran back to Shiloh. It's impossible. Now I was thinking to myself that you could argue that maybe that's only when you have it inappropriately. But here Shaul, who was trying to rescue the Luchos from the hands of the Plishtim, so maybe you could say that he got away with it. Maybe you could say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed him to do that without, you know, getting any sort of punishment for handling the Luchos because he was trying to rescue them, because he was trying to save them. Okay. Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayovo v'hine eli yoshev ala kisei yad derech mitzapeh. So he comes, this messenger from Binyamin, let's say Rusha'u comes, and Eli is sitting on a chair right near the road. Okay, derech mitzapeh is the Farshim say is basically the road that leads into the city. Eli was sitting like right at the gates of the city, you know, at the entrance to the city, right by the road. Ki hayalibo chared al aron ha'elokim, because Eli was petrified about what was going to happen to the Aron. They came and they took the Aron. They took it to battle, and Eli's plotting. He's the Kohen Gadol, and he's thinking to himself, "What's going to happen to the Aron? How can they take it into battle?" So he's waiting, literally with bated breath, at the entrance of the city to hear that the Aron is safe, to hear that everything is okay. V'ha'ish bo lehagid bo'ir, and the man, meaning the man from Binyamin, comes to tell the news to the city, and the Mefarshim say that he actually didn't come in that entrance. You know, Eli was sitting, I guess, at one entrance to the city, and Shaul, when he was fleeing from the battle, so he came into the city in another entrance, and he sees people, and he just starts telling people what happened. They took the Aron, the Plishtim took the Aron, the Plishtim took the Aron. Batiza kol ha'ir. Screaming. Everybody starts shrieking and screaming. Now you imagine, you know, we hear sirens, and we know something's going on. Here, imagine just the whole city starts shrieking and screaming and mourning because the Aron was captured. Okay. The Alshich points out here that we're going to see it in a moment, that Eli was a very old person at this point. He was actually 98 years old, the Pasuk is going to say in a couple of Psukim. And he did not have good vision. It was very hard for him to see. So therefore he was sitting by the road so that he could hear when the messenger would come back, he would hear somebody running. He would know, okay, somebody's running. This must be somebody from the battlefield. You know, excuse me, please tell me what's going on at the battle. That's what he was doing. Pasuk Yudalev. Vayishma Elias Kolatza Aka. Now again, right? So Shaul comes in a different entrance. Now where Eli is sitting. He tells the people in the city, Vatiza Kol Ha'ir, everyone in the city is screaming. Eli, who's sitting at the other gate, hears what's going on. He hears the, you know, all this screaming. Imagine like hearing like sirens and sirens. He hears all this screaming. Vayomer, and he says, Ma kola hamon azeh? What's this ruckus? What's going on? Why is everybody shrieking? Behoish mihar vayova vayaged le'eli. So Eli's asking around, what's going on? Why is everybody screaming? Okay? The Malbim says that no one wanted to tell him. Right? I mean, the people who heard, nobody wanted to break the news to Eli that the Aaron had been captured. And again, keep in mind, he was also an old man. Even if he was a young man, probably they would not have wanted to break the news. But certainly, the fact that he was 98 years old, they didn't want to break the news to him. So they figured, you know what? Let Shaul break the news. Right? Shaul is the one who witnessed it. He's the one who saw it happen in the battlefield. So he's the one who told us. So you know, let him break the news. So they ran to Shaul and they said, Shaul, you know, Eli's wondering what's going on. You got to go tell him. You got to go tell him what's going on. Now, it's interesting. The Malbim points out here that Shaul thought that Eli heard the news. He thought that Eli heard what was going on. He just thought that Eli wanted more details. So the Pasuk says, what did he do? He ran. V'ha'ish mihar. He ran to Eli because he says, oh my gosh, Eli heard the news, but he wants the details of what happened. So he ran, vayova vayaged le'Eli, and he told him everything immediately, like in a rush. He just ran up to Eli and he says, the Aaron was captured. Okay? Now Eli had no clue. Eli just heard people shrieking and screaming. He didn't know what happened. There was a misconception that Shaul thought Eli knew already and just wanted more details. Pasuk Tesvav. Ve'Eli ben Tishimu Shmona Shana. Eli was 98 years old. Ve'enav kama velo yacholiros. His eyes were weak. His eyes were weak and he couldn't see very well. Okay? The Malbim says again, had he been able to see, he would have started putting the pieces together. He would have seen people's faces. He would have seen, you know, maybe people's torn clothing. He would have said, okay, I know this is not good news. But he couldn't see anything. He could only hear. And therefore, he only heard shrieking and screaming. He didn't know what it was about. By Yomer Ha'ish El Eli. Shaul, right, starts talking and he tells Eli, Anochi Haba Min Hama'aracha. I'm the one who came from the battlefield, meaning I saw this with my own eyes. Right? I saw this happen. Va'ani min hama'arocha nasti hayom. I fled from there today. I'm not forgetting any details. This just happened today. I was there earlier today. Va'yomer me haya hadavar b'ni. So Eli says, so Nu, what happened? Right, tell me what happened. Now, just as an aside, it's interesting because this pasuk does sound a little bit repetitive. Right? What does it say? Anochi haba min hama'arocha. I'm the one who's coming from the battlefield. And I fled today from the battlefield. Sounds redundant. So the Malbim quotes the Chazal that the Medrash says that Shaul actually fled twice. That Shaul fled once and went back to Shiloh. Okay, before the Aaron had been captured. But then he heard that the Aaron was captured. So Shaul ran back to the battlefield, grabbed the luchos from Goliath, and then returned to Shiloh. That's one medrash that says that there was actually Shaul ran twice. You know, he first came to Shiloh before the Aaron was captured, heard what happened, and then he ran and got the luchos and came back. Okay. Pasuk Yitzayim. Vaya'an ha-mevaser. It refers to Shaul as the mevaser, right? The one who brings the news. And we'll see why in a minute that it refers to him as the mevaser. But he comes and he responds to Eli, Vayomer, and he says, Nas Yisrael lifnei plishtim. Number one, we had to retreat from the plishtim, right? We had to run and we had to flee and we had to retreat from the plishtim. Number one. Number two, Vegam magefa gedola haisa va'am. We got hit bad. We suffered heavy losses. He calls it a magefa here. Mitzvah David says the fact that it's called a magefa is because as Bnei Yisrael were fleeing, the Plishtim were chasing them and still killing them. They didn't just kill them on the battlefield. But even after they were fleeing, the Plishtim were chasing them to continue killing them. That's why it's referred to as a Magefa. So that's number two. Vigam number three, Vigam Shnei Vanecha Mesu, Chafni Upinchas. Also your two sons died, Chafni and Pinchas. And then number four, Va'aron Ha'elokim Nilkacha. And the Aron was taken. The Al-Sheikh says he's moving up in intensity here. He starts with the least distressing, right? Nas Yisrael lifnei plishtim, we were defeated. That's the least distressing. And then he moves up and up. Then, you know, and then we got hit bad, right? We suffered heavy losses. Your sons were killed, and the Aron was taken. Just as an aside, he mentions that the Aron ha'elokim nilkacha, that it was taken. He says that the pasuk uses the passive nilkacha, and it also uses the feminine, because he says that you know most men have a more physical strength than women, and therefore he says that it was taken just like it was taken easily. Now the Aron was just like just taken easily from Bnei Yisrael. Why? Again, because Bnei Yisrael disgraced the Aron by sinning and by taking it into battle. It was just removed, just like plucked right out of their hands. That's it. It was just removed. Now, why does he say mevaser? Why does the pasuk use the mevaser? The Malbim says that there's a difference between a magid and a mevaser. Magid is someone who informs someone of something. Mevaser is usually good news, right? Kol mevaser, if you remember from Hoshanos, kol mevaser, mevaser v'yomer, we're referring to the good news of the coming of Mashiach. Kol mevaser. So mevaser usually is good news. So says the Malbim, why are we referring to this? Why are we referring to Shaul here as a mevaser? Because again, Shaul thought Eli knew already. He thought Eli knew. He thought Eli just wanted the details. So if Eli knew already and he just wanted the details, so I'm here to fill that role of filling in the details of the story that happened. So in that sense, it's good. Now, the event was not good, obviously. But in the sense of I'm here to fill in the details, that's something that's positive. That's something that's good. In reality, he had no idea. So just imagine for a second. The pasuk says that Eli was sitting at the entrance to the city because he was so distraught since the Aron had been taken, waiting with bated breath to hear that the Aron's okay. And all of a sudden, Shaul comes running in and just in a charge and says, Eli, Bnei Yisrael was defeated. We suffered heavy losses. Your sons were killed and the Aron was taken. You know, out of breath. What do you think the reaction of Eli HaKohen is going to be to hearing all of this in one shot so suddenly? Pasuk Yurches, Vayihi kehaskiro es Aron ha'elokim. As soon as Eli hears that the Aron was taken, now it's interesting that the pasuk focuses on that. We'll talk about that in a minute. But as soon as he hears that the Aron was taken, Vayipol me'al hakise achoranis. He just collapses. He falls backwards off of his chair. Be'ad yad hashar, right next to the hand of the gate, maybe it's the handle of the gate, v'tishaver mafrakta, and he breaks his maybe his spine or his neck, v'yamos, and he dies. Ki zaken ha'ish, pasuk says, number one, he was very old. The chaved, he was also a heavy person, and we'll see why this plays a role. V'hu shofet es Yisrael arbaim shanan, he had judged Bnei Yisrael for 40 years. And this is kind of a funny conclusion. You know, it's like Eli dies tragically. By the way, he was a shofet for 40 years. Okay? So said all the Mefarshim say that no, this is not just like a little piece of news that we're sticking in. And by the way, he was a shofet for 40 years. All of these factors contributed to his death. The Mitzudas David says that since he was old and heavy, as he was falling, he couldn't adjust his body. He couldn't turn himself, and that's why he was killed. He literally fell backwards and broke his neck on the gate. The Malbim says that there were three reasons why he broke his neck. Number one, he fell off of a chair, which was at a height. Number two, he fell backwards. And number three, he was right by the gate. And there were three reasons why he died immediately, says the Malbim. Number one, the pasuk says he was old. Number two, he was heavy. And number three, he had no koach because he had been the shofet for 40 years. So that conclusion of the pasuk, that he was the shofet for 40 years, that's showing us that he was worn out. After 40 years of judging the Bnei Yisrael, he was worn out. He had no koach. Being old and being heavy and being totally worn out after 40 years of judging Bnei Yisrael, his body didn't stand a chance. And that's why he was killed. That's why he was killed immediately when he fell. Now it's fascinating that the pasuk only focuses on this, on the one tragedy of the taking of the Aron. Right? It doesn't say that Eli was so distressed by the Misa, by the killing of his own sons, right? I think we would have been more distressed probably by that if Rachmana Litzlan, our family members were killed, you know, as opposed to the Aron. So why? So the Mefarshim do not, you know, address this. Maybe it's simple to them. To me, it seems that the best explanation is that Eli expected Hophni and Pinchas to die. He knew they were going to die because Eli knew about their sins, right? He knew about the prophecy already that Shmuel was given, and he was given the prophecy already before by the Isha Elokim that Shmuel was given the prophecy that his sons are going to die. So he knew they were going to die. They're going into battle against the Plishtim. Eli probably assumed that they were not going to come home. So he probably mourned their loss already, you know, when they left home. He knew they were going to die. But the Aron, he did not know was going to be captured. And he was hoping with bated breath that it would not be. And now he hears that tragic news, and that was too much. That's what killed him. Pasuk Yutes. V'chalosom eshes Pinchas hara lalas. The wife of Pinchas, Hophni and Pinchas, the two sons of Eli, they were just killed. So Pinchas' wife is pregnant. Lalas, the Mefarshim say that she was basically about to deliver. Her due date had arrived. The Alshich says maybe it means she was already in labor before this time. Matishma es hashmua elhilokach aron ha'elokim. She hears this tragic news about the capture of the Aron of Hashem. Umeis chamiha v'isha, and about the death of her father-in-law and her husband. Matichra, she bends over, tateled, and she gives birth. Kinevchu aleha tzireha, because her birth pains, you know, took over. So again, you know, some of Farshim say this tragic news caused her to go into labor. Some say she was already in labor, and it just caused her to deliver. But whatever the case is, she has this baby. Again, pay attention to the order. What does she hear? Aron ha'Elokim is first. That's the most tragic. Also that her father-in-law died, and only then that her husband died. It almost sounds like her husband dying is the least tragic part of all this. Why? I would suggest again, because she also knew what her husband was like. She also knew that he was a Rasha, that he was an Avari, that he was doing Averos, and she also probably knew that he would not come back from battle. So therefore, to her, the most tragic thing was also the Aron being captured, and then obviously her father-in-law's sudden death was also tragic. Pasukhof. Uche'es Musa. Now this childbirth was not just a childbirth, but she was now dying in childbirth. So as she's dying, it's a very tragic end of the perek, right? As you can see. As she's dying, Batidaberna hanitzavos aleha. The women who were standing around her, I guess they were coaching her, helping her, midwives maybe. So they said to her, Al tiri, don't be afraid. Kivein yoladit, because you just gave birth to a baby boy. You just gave birth to a baby boy. And velo ansa velo shasa lima, but she doesn't respond, and her she's not calmed down. The Mitzudas David said they were trying to put her at ease. He bases this on different chazals. The chazal on the one hand say that when a person loses a family member, they have to worry that they might also lose their life. So she was scared. My father-in-law died. My husband died. Maybe I'm going to die now. They tried to calm her down. The chazal also say that if you have a son, that can kind of heal the spell, so to speak. But she didn't listen. She didn't listen to them. The Alshich says she had no will to live. After all this tragedy, the Aron was taken. Her father-in-law died, tragic death. Her husband died. She had no will to live. But again, you see that she was something of a tzadekes here. She was a righteous woman because you see the order that she was distressed. She was distressed first and foremost by the Aron and then only by her husband and her father-in-law's death. Just last two psukim in 2 minutes. Chaf alev atikra lanar ichavod. She calls this son, talk about a terrible name. She calls this son ichavod, lack of honor, dishonor. And imagine, a child growing up with that kind of name. Dishonor. Okay? Lemor, which meant to say, Gala kavod mi Yisrael, that the honor has been exiled from Bnei Yisrael, al hilokach aron ha'elokim, because of the capture of the Aron, the El Chamiya, the El Isha, and because of the sudden death of her father-in-law and her husband. Again, the same exact order. Aron first, then her father-in-law's death, and then only then her husband's death. The lemur, usually lemur means you're supposed to say something to others. So the Mitzvah Das David says that lemur, he's not saying anything, but just he doesn't have to say anything. His name proclaims to everyone the lack of cover that was here. The Malbim says, it's fascinating, and this the last two psukim is just we're just wrapping this up. The Malbim says that that here, you know, there are two parts of the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebaal Peh, the written Torah and the oral Torah. So the Malbim says that if one is captured, but the other is intact, Bnei Yisrael will be okay. If the Torah Shebichsav is captured, but the Torah Shebaal Peh is intact, so then the Chazal with the Torah Shebaal Peh will be able to figure out, to remember, to recreate the Torah Shebichsav. The Torah Shebaal Peh is gone, but we still have the Torah Shebichsav, we can recreate the Torah Shebaal Peh. But here, says the Malbim, her mourning, I Kavod, was because there was nothing left. The Torah Shebichsav was captured because the Aaron was captured, and Eli and his children who represented, they were the Chachamim. Eli was the Kohen Gadol, he was the Gadol Ador. He represented the Torah Shebaal Peh, he's also gone. So we have nothing left. We have no Torah Shebichsav, and we have no Torah Shebaal Peh. So you see again the righteousness of this woman, that she's not only worried about just her own personal loss, but she's worried about the Kavod HaTorah, the Kavod of the Ribono Shel Olam. And then finally, Pasuk Chaf Beis Vatomer, Gala Chavod Yisrael Ki Nilkach Aron HaElokim. Interesting. She says it again. She says it again. The Mefarshim say, the Ashik says, that the women thought when she named her son E Kavod that she was talking about all three tragedies. And she says, no. This is the real tragedy. My husband dying, okay. Even my father-in-law dying, okay. But this is the real tragedy. The capture of the Aron, taking of the Aron, is the real tragedy. The Malbim says beautifully, just beautiful. It's an amazing conclusion here. The Malbim says that here she wasn't ignoring her father-in-law and her husband, but she was saying that just like the Aron houses the Luchos and houses the Torah Shebichsav, the Chachamim are the Aron for the Torah Shebaal Peh. The Torah Shebaal Peh, which is inscribed on their hearts, they are the Aron of the Torah Shebaal Peh. So when she says Ki Nilkach Aron HaElokim, she's not just referring to the actual Aron that had the Luchos and the Torah, but she says the Chachamim also, who are the Aron for that Torah Shebaal Peh, they were also taken, and we have nothing. We have no Torah Shebichsav, and we have no Aron, and we have no Torah Shebaal Peh, and we have no Aron. We're bereft of everything. Ichavod, we have nothing. Okay, we'll tap here for tonight, ladies and gentlemen.